141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Celtic close in on the signing of Patrick Klamala as they, along with Rangers, head home from Dubai. Partick Thistle had a tough weekend but now add Darian McKinnon to their squad, and Crawford Allen is Scotland's new head of refereeing operations. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight is Fraser Wishart and Hugh Keevans.
At last, a bit of movement on the transfer front. Patrick Klamala was still inside Celtic Park the last anybody heard of him. Either he's dotting the I's and crossing the T's on his new contract, or else he's waiting for the rain to go off. Somebody had better have a word and tell him he'll have a long wait in this city. Much longer than he'll get to adapt to Scottish football. He might be young, he might be inexperienced at the top level, but Celtic don't have time for any works in progress. Not this time, not this season.
This is the week, Fraser, we start moving to a bit of familiarity with the return of our top flight teams. The warm weather training camps are finishing off. They're heading home, not quite back to Premiership duty because we have the Scottish Cup, which we're all very much looking forward to. But I think everyone's ready for the return of all the teams and to get everything back up and running again.
Yeah, it's a winter break. I think the players enjoy, they'll enjoy getting a few weeks off, getting their feet up for a week before they go to the warm weather training. But I think it just kind of disrupts the season. I think it's necessary because our players play so many games, qualifying at the highest level in Europe, etc. But it does give us that wee break, and it's been quite quiet on the transfer front. And I think that's we've been chatting about that every single Saturday about Rangers and Celtic in particular, and talking about how it's going to be about quality, not quantity. But Klamala, he certainly talks a good game. I was reading stuff today, very confident, which is great. I like that. He says he's going to be first choice somewhere, and he's going to come in and he's going to challenge Edouard for that position. But we're talking about the Celtic needing a striker to come in. He looks like he's going to be the one, and perhaps Parady tonight, or maybe tomorrow morning.
Going to put you right on the spot tonight. Not only do you not have the top flight to choose from, you've only got 50% of a lower league card to choose from, because the weather had its wicked way. Do you have a result of the weekend? It is Monday night after all.
I'm going for Morton 3, Dunfermline 2. Nice bit of momentum building up now for George Bowie's lot. They got that terrific away win at Arbroath. They followed it up the next weekend by beating Dunfermline. 5 defeats in a row for Dunfermline. They're on a shaky peg, but not the mighty Ton.
Fraser Wishart, your result of the weekend?
I'm going to go for the other Championship game. I'm going to go for Dundee United, not only just for the win, but it was emphatic. It was clear, it was decisive. Shanklin scoring goals again. And it's a message to anybody that thinks they can challenge Dundee United top of the table. They can't. That was a fantastic victory, 4-1 away from home.
Okay, again, not as many to choose from. What about your goal of the weekend?
I'm going for Lauren Shanklin's third goal against Partick Thistle, because in the weekend where English football celebrated Sergio Aguero getting his 13th hat-trick, thereby surpassing the record held by Alan Shearer, that hat-trick for Lauren Shanklin was his 8th in less than 2 years. Some scorer.
I'm going to go for Kevin Nisbet. I'm going to go for the free kick. It didn't count for much for Dunfermline.
Consolation.
For them, but what a fantastic free kick. And he, another one who was released down a league or two, and he's beginning to climb his way back up. You never know, there might be another bigger move in it for him, but it's a fantastic goal.
The howler of the weekend can be many things. It can be a sitter in front of goal, a goalkeeping error, a refereeing mistake, anything else that we've not thought of outside the box.
Nothing howled more than the wind and the rain on Saturday. Even a plastic pitch at Alloa was declared unplayable. Mother Nature, give us a break.
I'm not sure who either you two know about the wind on Saturday.
I'm roasting here.
The howler was the howler of Andy Logue, our producer, who, when the Dumbarton Clyde game was off, sent me to Stenhouse Muir against Brechin for the howling wind. I did quite enjoy it. It,
you had to keep an eye on Mark Wilson. We have to make sure he's doing all right.
And it wasn't
out there
the worst game
on a Saturday. Yeah, you go. You got 4 goals, which, given your track record, is not too bad at all. Right, 0141 951 1025. That's the number you need to get in touch tonight. You can tweet us at Clyde SSB. And as always, at this time of the year, if you've been following the show recently, we do try and do things a little bit differently during the winter break, try and shine a light on some stories that don't always get the attention they deserve during the season. So with that in mind, we've got something special up our sleeves after 7. and we're going to be asking you for your very first football memory. Now, I'm looking for serious specifics here. Of course, a first game or something, that sticks out, that's obvious, but I'm going to dig even deeper. Your very first football-related memory, and that will tie in nicely with our second hour topic, which you'll find out about after the news. In the meantime, let's get stuck in on today's news, if you like, Hugh. And the obvious one is Celtic closing in on the signing of Patrick Klamala. The figure being touted is around £3.5 million. Mm-hmm. In terms of who he is and what he's going to offer, we're hopefully going to learn a bit more about that on the phone in just a second. But it's the obvious one, isn't it? It's Celtic needed a striker. Neil Lennon said it. Every Celtic fan said it. It was always going to happen in one shape or another.
I'm not sure he's helped by former Celtic strikers of Polish birth describing him as possibly the new Robert Lewandowski. Let him get here. Let him play some games for Celtic and we can all make up our mind on that one. But as I said in the introduction, Gordon, and I've been deadly serious, Celtic can't have works in progress. Not at £3.5 million. Not the way the league currently stands. And not given the situation they find themselves in with Odson Edward far and away the number one choice. They need backup for Odson Edward at the moment. Sadly, it's not Lee Griffiths. Bio, I think, has been tried and found wanting. And now it's Patrick Klamala. He simply has to come in and make a contribution.
At the same time, Fraser, he was making all the right noises that you would expect about, you know, doesn't want to play second fiddle and wants to be the main man. But he is, let's be honest, being brought in as, I don't know if understudy's unfair, but he's going to be behind Odson Edward in the pecking order to begin with. I think that's undeniable. So Hugh does make a good point. We're very demanding in this part of the world. You don't get long to settle in, but at least he's not having to come in and really carry the can on his own at the moment.
At the moment, and that would be the case if Edward picked up an injury and he had to go in for a few games. But I said earlier, I like the fact that somebody comes in and says, yeah, I'm not here to be second choice, I'm here to be first choice. And Edward's a terrific striker. At some point, Edward will move on. When that will be, I don't know. But that's the way that happens with Celtic. They bring in players, they improve them, and they sell them on for profits. And if Edward continues to keep developing within whatever period of time, he's going to move on. So Klamala will be given the chance at some point to be the first choice striker, you would think, if he can come in and show what he's doing. But I think, like everybody else, didn't know much about the lad at all. I was reading some articles that he was quoted in, and I liked his chat. He was quite honest about his, saying he knows his strengths. He's not suited for a technical game or dribbling. I think he likes to go in behind and use his pace, and he's very direct and aggressive. He might just be the kind of different type of striker Celtic are looking for.
Yeah, we do, or I was going to say, we hope to have our Polish football expert on the line, who is going to give us the inside track on Patrick Klamala, tell us exactly what he is all about. Struggling to get hold of him at the moment. So Celtic fans, why not you get in touch with us and let us know your thoughts. What have you read about him? What have you seen? What are your hopes? Is it a encouraging start to the transfer window? 01419511025 at Clyde SSB on Twitter. You're always looking, Fraser, stylistically, you know, the reports you read extremely quick, like you said, running in behind, which there are two ways of looking at it. That would be something that Celtic maybe don't have. Well, certainly different from Odson Edward, but can also bring its own challenges because teams sit in against Celtic and Rangers, and it's not always easy to find that space in behind.
Absolutely, it's a very good point. I mean, Edward is for me has got it all. We've seen times when Celtic have been on the break and he's quick and he's pacey and he can get in behind and he supports things, but he's also very good with the ball into his feet and linking the play. He can score goals with his head. I mean, I think he's going to be a top striker in a year or two and playing for a top club. So you're right, but when you're looking at squads of players, Neil Lennon wants something a wee bit different. You know, you want to have an option. You might want to have somebody who can just give that wee burst of pace in behind when there's a space there, or somebody who can get in the 6 yard box and score a few goals. We don't know what he's going to be like. I mean, I don't think there'll be anybody, very, very few people listening to the show that will know much about him. But certainly, I think for Celtic, it's quite an exciting sign because fans like to see players coming from abroad. They like to see players being signed. So it's up to the lad now. He's got a great chance to come in and play for a good team and score a few goals.
There's only one criterion that matters here. He's a striker. Will he strike? Because Neil Lennon this morning I read saying that there's no point in looking too far into the future. When Celtic come back, beginning at Partick Thistle on Saturday evening, they have to go about their business in a ruthless and efficient fashion. They've won 31 cup ties in a row. They need to make it 32 at Firhill. Then they move on to the league, and there is absolutely no margin for error. Every game that they play, and 5 out of the 7 that they play immediately after coming back are away from home, they have to be efficient and they have to win. And therefore, if Patrick Klamala is to come in, then he can't be a work in progress. He can't be promising for the future. He has to make a contribution now.
Okay, what do you make of that signing news this afternoon then? 01419511025. And like we say, if you'd rather tweets, we're more than happy to have you on that platform as well. You can find us over at Clyde SSB. We've got some Celtic fans already trying to get the reaction. Let's find out a bit more about the player first, because let's be honest, not many of us will have seen much of him. So let's get the inside track with Christopher Lash, who's a Polish football expert. He's based over in Warsaw. Christopher, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
I'm good. How are you?
Yep, not too bad at all, Christopher. We've kicked off the show talking about Patrick Klamala. We bow to your superior knowledge. What type of player is he? What type of player can the Celtic fans expect to get?
He's just a very, very, very quick striker, basically. that's his kind of primary kind of thing that he's got. It's just really, really quick. Not a bad finisher as well. But I think that, if you just sort of do some YouTube searching and stuff, you'll see how just he is a very, very quick player. And I think that's speed is such a part of the modern game that I think, he could really be an asset.
How would you rate his form at the moment then? He's obviously attracted attention for a reason from Celtic and for other clubs. He's still relatively young. He's 21 and he's not had a particularly prolific goal scoring time of it in seasons gone by. How would you assess his career to date?
It's a weird one. He had a bit of he went through the Legia youth system, Legia Warsaw, sorry, he played against Rangers, in the autumn. In the summer. He was there for a couple of years, but he had some problems. I think he was away from home and he couldn't really deal with it that well. And he got kicked out, but he had to leave. And then he sort of made his way through. He went to Jagiellonia Białystok, the team that you're going to sign him from. And he went on loan to a second tier side in Poland, did pretty well, then came back to Jagiellonia. And had a really bad spring last year. I mean, he was awful. I went to watch some of his games, and it just didn't work at all. Maybe he was used wrongly, or maybe he was trying too hard, or whatever. He's got a quite big ego. He's very ambitious, and I've even read something in October that he said that if he had to just keep playing in the Polish top tier, he might as well retire. So he's really quite, wants to do really well. And then in the autumn, he just sort of, everything just worked. I think that the manager at the time put his arm around him, sort of did extra work with him, tried to, tell him to calm down a little bit and just take it easy. It worked. And he's, scored a lot of goals. Well, not loads, but did very well, especially I think in October and November, where he scored a lot of goals in a row, in a lot of games in a row, sorry. And then he also scored, and I think had an assist for the under-21s, the Polish under-21s. So it all just sort of moved very quickly. But really, in the spring, like in February, March, April, he really didn't do that well.
Is there a feeling in Poland that he can go on to have an impact at international level? He has extremely big boots to fill in Robert Lewandowski, of course. But is there a feeling that maybe he can kick on and become that Polish international striker?
I think so. I mean, there's always a chance. I mean, to be honest, the transfers move so quickly in Poland now. I mean, in the space of 6 months, it's, again, he was considered almost like a failure in the spring, and now suddenly he's going to Celtic. So it's a difficult one, but I think that, he's obviously playing for the under-21s. He'll be at Celtic. This is a lot bigger profile than, even if he went to Legia, the biggest team in Poland. I think he could. The problem is that there's too small a sample size, really, so far. He's only played about 40 Polish top tier games. I think he could, I think at Celtic with the exposure, and if he does well there, I think that, there's always a possibility. And I think that the problem is a lot of journalists are not quite sure, what his level is yet, because he's played so few games.
Christopher,
Christopher,
if I had brought you into a room at Celtic Park and you were going to be the difference between me spending £3.5 million on Patrick Klamala or not spending £3.5 million, I'm not sure I'd buy him, given your assessment. Not a bad finisher, with a bit of a failure in the spring, etc., etc. I don't know how much attention you pay to our Premiership here, but Rangers and Celtic are in a real fight here for the league title, and Celtic need more than not a bad finisher. They need someone who is temperamentally strong between now and next May, and they need someone who can come in and make a contribution, Christopher.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that going to Celtic or Rangers, you've got to be strong mentally. You've got to be able to, you know, turn it on. And, you know, obviously, you're playing against quite weak rivals, so that does help. But it's difficult. I can't really say more than that. That, you know, he has potential. He obviously believes in himself. He's got a very big, you know, and I think that will help him, but it also might not help him. You know, you never know.
Yeah, what about the things that what would be the obvious areas for improvement, Christopher? We mentioned just before you came on the phone, sometimes players who like to play in behind might actually struggle domestically for Celtic or Rangers because teams sit in, they don't come out, they don't leave much room in behind. What would be the things that Patrick Klamala would have to improve on in the near future?
Yeah, I mean, that is obviously a point. If teams are going to sit really deep, and I'm sure they do against Celtic and Rangers, that it might be a bit of an issue with him because he is so much of it is about pace. I think he's a little bit better than not bad finisher. Maybe I was a bit too critical of him. But I think that just in general, he needs to play more. He needs to play more games. In the autumn, he played regularly for Jager. He had a manager who really cared about him, gave him the love that he needed. And believed in him. I'm not sure if Neil Lennon will do that for him, hopefully, he'll do, but I think he's got pretty good touch. I think he's pretty decent at interplay. But again, it's the problem for me is the small sample size. I watch him quite a lot, but, you can't
see
much
him a
more
bit more.
You haven't seen it. Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much. That was Christopher, our Polish football expert based over there in Warsaw, giving us the inside track on Patrick Klamala. Lots of interesting comments. Let's get some fan reaction from Ricky, who's a Celtic fan from Easterhouse. Listening to that, Ricky. And by the way, Christopher knows his stuff, knows way more than we do of the player. But it is still one man's opinion. What do you make of what you had to hear, Ricky?
Well, I'd phoned up. I've read about him in the paper today, and I phoned up and I was underwhelmed by the signing. I am even more underwhelmed listening to that chap. I don't know. We paid £9 million for Edward, who was sort of understudy to a 500 grand man in Dembele. I don't think this guy fits the bill. I think we need to get, there's obviously time between now and the end of the window. But I think we need a proven striker. I'm talking about somebody that can put the ball in the net. Somebody that's going to get them running. I agree with Hugh Evans, totally. I don't think this guy's going to work for us. He might be a work in progress.
To be fair, I haven't said he won't work. I simply said to Christopher that if Christopher's assessment was the difference between me spending £3.5 million on a player and not spending £3.5 million, I'm not sure I would have spent the £3.5 million. But until such times as we, all of us, see Patrick Klamala on a football pitch, then the chat is conjecture.
Hypothetical. Yeah, I mean, Ricky, surely you have to give the guy a chance. He's not even confirmed as a signing yet. You've not seen any of him at Celtic. Do you not trust the staff who are there and with the job of bringing guys in?
Well, listen, we brought in guys before. We'll get Bio. These are the same guys that brought this guy, Bio.
You've also brought some good signings in, though.
Yeah, of course they have. But I don't think we need somebody that's maybe going to make it. I think we need somebody that will make it.
But that's the problem, Fraser, because you go back to the market. Unfortunately, where we are in the food chain, we can't do guaranteed success stories for multi-million pounds. And in fact, I'm not even sure they exist at any level of the game, but they certainly don't exist at ours.
No, I mean, £3.5 million is a going rate for somebody who's up and coming and got potential. And this seems to be, just listen to everybody, that's what Klamala is. And I've said in the show in the last couple of Saturdays that the problem's going to be you know, even if Celtic were willing to pay big money for a striker, he's going to come and be second choice. So you're going to get somebody to come in who's clearly going to be second choice. I mean, this, they might sign somebody else. Who knows? They might have plans to sign another striker in this transfer window. But you know, I think Ricky should give the lad a chance. None of us know much about him. We should really give the lad a chance and let's see what he's got.
Ricky in Easterhouse, thank you very much for the call. A fairly downbeat start. Celtic fans, anyone out there feeling a bit more optimistic? Anyone liking what they're hearing or seeing from Patrick Klamala? Let's hear from you. 01419511025, and we could be speaking to you after the travel.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Road Accident Solicitors. The compensation you deserve when you've been sidelined. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Fraser Wishart and Hugh Keevans are here waiting to take your calls. We're also on Twitter at Clyde SSB, reflecting on the potential Celtic signing of Patrick Klamala. Brian Hawkey sent in a tweet. He says, Gordon, Robinho cost Man City 30 million. He was a flop. Money doesn't guarantee success. The boy will do well, says Brian on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Let's go straight back to the phone lines and get another take from James this time. He's in East Kilbride. Hi, James.
Hi, guys. How you doing? You all right?
Not too bad.
Hi, James.
Right, point tonight is, just a wee side note, that Polish chap, or not Polish, the chap from Poland that called earlier, he certainly didn't fill us Celtic fans with hope. It was certainly not a glowing report card that the boy got. Anyway, even apart from that, he's a bit of an unknown to me. I'm not going to admit I know Polish football, I don't. So he's a bit of an unknown. My point is just that I would actually have preferred to see Celtic take a punt on Lawrence Shanklin. Albeit he's in the Championship scoring goals, but I do certainly think that he's in a position to take a step up. And I'd rather have seen somebody who's a proven goal scorer. He's had his Scotland cap, so he's doing well. He's on the up. I would rather have seen Shanklin come in as opposed to this Polish lad. I think, you know, bed him in the now. I do think Edouard's going to be away in summer. I think a bid will come in and I think they'll accept it. So I think I'd rather have seen Shankland than this Polish chap. James, just to get your opinion on that.
Let's be very clear, Hugh. No one is writing off Patrick Klamala. Let's be very, because that is wrong on every level. For every single player who ever comes here, there is no point whatsoever in doing that. We haven't seen the guy. We got one take from Poland that I don't actually think was that negative. It was just based around the fact that he's not played that many games, so there's not a great deal to go on. What about the preference from James Shanklin?
First of all, Mickey Hammond, head of recruitment at Celtic, looked at Lauren Shanklin at the weekend at Firhill, and then Mickey Clark sadly broke his ankle, and Dundee United now have Lauren Shanklin as their sole striker, and they're going for promotion, and they've been out of the top flight of Scottish football for years, and that is their priority. Therefore, Lauren Shanklin will not be sold. Would Lauren Shanklin have hit the ground running any more than Patrick Klamala or anybody else? That's debatable. My point to James, you know, to talk about Edouard and going in the summer, yeah, all very well and good. We'll get to that in the summer. Celtic is now about January, February, March, April and May. That's all that matters, because if Celtic don't win the league, James and his fellow Celtic supporters will provide a tremendous backlash. And Celtic, Neil Lennon has to be conscious of that, and Peter Lawwell. Is that not the case, James?
No, listen, I'm not writing this boy off. You know, I hope he comes in and does well. But in regards to, obviously, we're focusing on the rest of the season, that's correct. But I also don't think this Polish boy will come in and replace Edouard. So that's kind of irrelevant. You know, he is going to be, you know, a backup unless Lennon decides to maybe play him as a kind of, you know, a winger or potentially two up top. So he's still going to be a backup. My point was just, I would have rather have seen him go for Shanklin. And I think, you know, regardless of Dundee United and what they're achieving and what their goal is, I don't think Dundee United are in a position to knock back whatever a tasty bid would be for Lawrence Shanklin.
Do you know, in fairness to Patrick Klamala though, James, he's here. Celtic have paid the money. We're awaiting official confirmation, but he's here. And it's his job now to make a contribution. No one's saying he will take the place of Odson Edouard, that would be stupid. But he's here, surely, at that money to make a contribution between now and May.
This is where January signings can be very fascinating though, Fraser, because at least he will play a part. We don't know how much of a part, but he'll play a part. And then by the summer, if, as many people expect, Odson Edouard moves on to pastures new, you're in a pretty good position to judge whether he can take that role on, whether he can be the replacement, because he's been there for 6 months.
Yeah, I mean, it really depends on what Celtic have signed him for. I mean, £3.5 million is a lot of money in Celtic's case. But, you know, they have signed players with potential for a couple of million. You know, the Van Dijks of this world and others, where you're taking a bit of a punt because you're bringing in somebody from the lower reaches of Dutch football. And look at the success he turned out to be. So when you're looking at that type of player, that's the type of money you've got to spend in any case. And it wouldn't surprise me if Celtic brought in another striker. Now, I'm not talking from any positional knowledge, I don't know this, but just looking at the whole situation, looking at this lad's come in as well, and the need for a bit of more backup, because if Edouard does get injured, then you've only got one striker at the moment.
Griffiths and Bayo are still in the building though, and would it be safe to say that whether it works out or not, I don't know, but you can at least have a realistic expectation that Lee Griffiths improves, gets closer hopefully back to the level that he was, and even Bayo, I know he's not everyone's cup of tea, but have we really seen enough of him to consider him done and dusted completely?
No, and that's a shame for the lad, because he has been injured. But I still think that there might just be something. Maybe it's a 6 month loan, kind of Glenn Murray-esque type of player, where it's short term. Klamala's in for long term, Murray's in just for the 6 months, or somebody like that that Celtic can pull in. I still think they might bring in somebody else. And I think James is absolutely right about Lauren Shankland. In the end, Lauren signed for Dundee United because it suited both parties. Dundee United needed somebody who's going to bang in the goals, which he has done to get the promotion. Then at the end of the season, they were probably thinking, well, if you'd come in, you'd do that, and he's progressed, he's got international caps now, then we'll sell you, we'll make some money, and you'll get a bigger move as well. So it'd work out always. I'd like to see Lawrence playing in the Premiership, in the top half of the Premiership. Let's just see what he's all about there, because he's really been in the first division. I think he's got a chance.
By all accounts, James, the real strength of Patrick Klamala is his pace. He's been described as everyone who's ever seen him as being extremely quick. Is that something you're looking forward to seeing being added to Celtic's front line?
Yeah, definitely. That's why I'm even thinking, you know, if it's not as a second striker, you know, get him in there somewhere, you know, playing just behind Edouard, or try and fit him in. If he's match fit, I would actually like to see him, you know, starting in the Partick Thistle game, because if there's an opportunity to bed him in quickly, you know, give Edouard a rest, you know, it is against, no disrespect, but it is against Partick Thistle. So I'd like to see him come in pretty quickly and show us what he's got, definitely.
Well, time will tell. We need to get the signing over the line first, which hasn't quite happened, but we'll keep you up to speed when that does happen. Thank you to James in East Kilbride. It's 01419511025, and that's exactly the number Craig has dialed. He's a Rangers fan. What's on your mind tonight, Craig?
Hi guys, how are you doing?
Hello.
I want to say, you know, I'm listening to, you know, what the Celtic fans are talking about this Klamala. You know, obviously, you can't underestimate him, because, you know, I distinctly remember that when Edouard was officially signed for £9 million after his loan spell, which was, I think, mixed, because Dembele and Griffiths were there, there wasn't an awful lot of delight at the time, but he's turned out to be a superstar. So, you know, I think that's something to be wary of. However, I do feel like when you hear Ronald Celtic sign Klamala, after being told for months, this season, by Celtic fans that, you know, Rangers shouldn't get too ahead of themselves, because even if they do catch Celtic a bit, they'll just spend money and they'll run away. I don't think Rangers or Steven Gerrard will be looking at the signing Klamala and raising their eyebrows thinking, oh, this is something to be worried about. And I think what you're maybe looking to do a little bit, when you bring in a player, you want to bring in somebody who's, you know, who people are maybe going to be excited about coming to the club, and it's going to make your opponents go, that's somebody to keep an eye on. And I don't think that does that. Don't get me wrong, I still believe that, you know, we need to bring somebody in this window, because I think, obviously, Gerard said about wanting to trim the fat, which, yes, there's players that have to go, but I do still think we probably need a third striker in there.
See, when you say that, Craig, when you mentioned about sort of striking fear into your opponents, you're not really just focusing on reputation though. Let's take your own example. It's staring you right in the face, Alfredo Morelos. I'm pretty sure no one was fearful of the name of the signing, but you can't exactly argue with the impact he's had. So does it really matter what your opponents think of a signing?
No, you know, I see, that's why I did site. Edward is an example as well as that, because obviously initially when he was at Celtic on loan, due to the fact that Celtic had Dembele and Griffiths, he didn't get, you know, he simply wasn't playing the way he is now, but they still brought him in for £9 million and he's been great. I just think, I was expecting, as I'm sure most other Rangers fans were expecting, that Celtic were going to bring in some, you know, better name, because we're always being, you know, Rangers are always being told about this pot of money that Celtic have got to go and spend. You know, we've been told that if Celtic really wanted to run away with the league, they could, because they could go and spend all this money. So,
well, in terms of the money, Craig,
from that point of view,
in terms of the money, Craig, you know, you don't need to be told about it. It's in the balance sheet. You can look at a piece of paper and it'll tell you how much money Celtic have got. Now, the point I've been trying to make since the programme began is that the league title is hanging by a thread. Celtic will suffer a tremendous backlash from their own supporters if they don't make it to 9 in a row, because they've been singing about 10 in a row for years now. Therefore, they are looking at this transfer window and they are hoping that Patrick Clamala is a success. None of us, not you Craig, not me, not Gordon, not Fraser, none of us know how good Patrick Clamala is until he gets a strip on and gets out on the park. He might be a superstar. We have to wait and see.
Craig, what about your own team? We don't have a lot of football to go on at the moment. That friendly in Dubai at the weekend, are you the type to pay much attention to that type of thing? If so, what did you take away from it?
I sort of seen it a bit. I think it's obviously, you know, there was a couple of younger boys played in the team that day. I think there was the young boy played in it. It was at right back, I think it was. And I think, you know, I like that Gerard seems to be looking at the youth academy a bit, and looking to bring young players up. I mean, I've said for a while now, I think Jamie Bar-Jonas is a player who, in the youth set-up at Rangers, could be good to bring up, because he's certainly done the business on a number of occasions, even in the tournament's Carabao UEFA Challenge Cup this season, to get the under-21s into the semis. So they're starting there. But I do think, you know, I'm not liking a lot of what I'm hearing transfer news-wise for Rangers, because, you know, we've been linked with, I think, maybe one or two boys. But, you know, Gerard doesn't really seem to be saying much other than he wants to get rid of players, which is fine. But I think if you're going to do that, you still need to bring in a player. Because, like you say, the league's tight, and I wonder, actually, whether the guys think we could be in a helicopter Sunday situation come May this year.
What do you think, Fraser, in terms of the transfer? Stephen Gerrard's gone on record at saying maybe one would be brought in, so I don't think that's particularly surprising.
The board will back Stephen Gerrard since he's come in. He's signed a lot of players, even to Ryan Kent at the end of the last transfer window for reported £7 million, and that's a lot of money. So they might not have the money at the moment, Craig, to just throw away. And it's hard to see. Rangers are quite well served in most positions, and they've got cover in most positions as well. And we keep talking about it. There's no point in bringing in numbers and spending money that you maybe haven't got, or is quite tight. It's just spending it on a player just for the sake of it. And I know fans want transfers. They just want transfers. It doesn't matter who it is. Just bring in three or four players. But if you're a manager, you might just focus the money you've got, rather than spending it on two squad players, spend it on one key player that's going to make your squad better. And I'm not sure where Rangers particularly need that type of player. We can always do with a better player. Every club can do the better player. But you know, from that point of view, the money's maybe a bit tighter than people think.
Craig, thank you very much for getting in touch. This is the perfect time to call, because we're going to get some travel with Stephen, and then we could be speaking to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, the league leader for compensation. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans and Fraser Wishart here from me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Fraser, we are now moving towards the end of the winter break officially for the top flight clubs, heading back from their warm weather training camps in Dubai or Tenerife or Largs, wherever they may have been. What sort of feedback, with your PFA Scotland hat on, what sort of feedback do you get from players? Because obviously I understand why it's there, and the clubs obviously wanted it.
Yeah.
But as much as they get a rest now, we then have a lot of fixtures crammed into other parts of the season. What sort of feedback are you getting currently?
Well, I think certainly the Premiership players like the winter break. When you think back to now with the League Cup starting in the middle of July, even the teams that are not playing in Europe are starting far, far earlier than they used to 4 or 5 years ago. So it's good to get a wee break. And I think sometimes it's just about getting rid of niggles and having a chance to put your feet up for a week. And then when the clubs do go away for warm training as well, it's about camaraderie, it's about tactics, it's about just topping up in fitness. Funnily enough, the guys in the Championship, the League One, League Two, are now beginning to say to me, why don't we get it? You know, because they're...
So it's not seen as counterproductive then, because you then have to squeeze games in elsewhere?
Yeah, I think it's just a rub. It's the rub from having the winter break. Something's got to give somewhere. I mean, I'm always a big supporter of Ian Blair and the guys at the SPFL who get criticised for fixtures. I've seen how fixtures are jammed in. You can't have fixtures on international weeks, you can't have them on European nights, you can't have them when Scottish Cup ties on, so they've hardly got any space to put a game in and reschedule a game. So that's the kind of rub. If you want to have the break in January, which everybody wants, then you've got to play games elsewhere. But the players like it. They do like to get a week off for the family in the middle of the season. It's unusual.
01419511025. Pat is in Paisley. Hi, Pat.
Hello.
Hi, Pat. What's on your mind tonight?
It's just about Patrick Lamala. We've had a lot of good Polish players pass through Celtic's gates, and it's just to give the boy a chance. He's only 21 year old. I'd say give him a chance, see what he can do out in the pitch, and then everybody can reserve their judgment of what he can do out in the pitch.
I think that's well said, Hugh. I don't think any reasonable person would argue with that.
Jackie Jakinowski was a terrific centre-forward for Celtic. Darius Dubčić was a terrific defender for Celtic. Magic Zarafsky was a terrific striker for Celtic. So Celtic's record with players from Poland, that Artur Boric, before I forget, the goalie, he was a fantastic signing for Celtic. So Patrick Klamala has that in his favour. No one is able to say whether Patrick Klamala will be a success or otherwise at Celtic, because no one has seen him. But the football matches will tell us all, as they did for Zarafsky, and for Jakinowski, and for Artur Boric, and for Darius Dubčić. The football games will tell us all about him. But of course, as an incomer to our country, we wish him nothing but success, other than the Rangers supporters who hope he's hopeless.
I mean, Fraser, this is not meant to criticise you, because I get why, you know, people make these connections, but this is what's always quite fascinating about this stage of a transfer. Whatever players from that country have or have not done here is completely irrelevant. Whatever players of that age, of that price bracket, none of it actually matters, because you're signing a player. Every player's different. Even the club he maybe played, you know, people, we get really hung up on, you know, goal records and things like that, but you might be signing a guy who played in a struggling team, or signing a guy who played in a team that didn't know how to utilise him. So I know why we look at these things, but it's important you don't get too hung up on any of it.
Yeah, Celtic can't bring in household names anymore. You can't bring in the finished article of a Chris Sutner and Henrik Larsson and John Hartson and these guys, Paul Lambert, just a European Cup winner at that point. You just can't do it. You can't do it. And over the years, Celtic's record has been decent. It's been good in bringing in guys who you've never heard of. Who'd have heard of Van Dijk? Who'd have heard of Wanyama? Who'd have heard of Stelian Petrov? Let's be honest, none of us. So allow the guy to play. Some haven't worked. Of course they haven't worked. And that's what you get when you're in operating this market. But the lad must have shown something to Celtic scouts. They're not going to just sign him on a whim or on somebody's recommendation. They'll have had him well watched. So he's got something there. Will it come out this season when he's playing for Celtic? Will he be a success? Who knows? But give the lad a chance. And I'm surprised that there's been a wee bit of kind of slight negativity from Celtic supporters. Give the lad a chance.
What's next, Pat? Is this the start of a couple of signings as far as you're concerned? Or, I don't know, what else are you expecting?
I don't know about that Sporer. I think that's done.
Yeah, I think
Sporting Lisbon or somewhere like that. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't listen to second-hand information either about the guy that was on the phone from Poland. I wouldn't listen to that either, because you don't know. I've never heard of the guy until
He came on to Celtic radar.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, I mean, he has, and he has watched him a lot, and that's why we got him on. Again, though, that's not to mean that it's gospel,
opinion.
But it's at least an informed opinion. We've not seen him.
Can you imagine in Warsaw Super Scoreboard tonight, if I come on and gave my opinion, how many would believe me?
More than believe you in West of Scotland.
But, you know, the Pat's right. You know, let him go on the park. Let him play. Let's see, apart from the lightning pace, if he has a finish in him. And then we can talk about it later on. But I have to underline the point. Between now and May, Celtic and Rangers are on a tightrope. And the outcome of this league title will have a devastating effect on the loser. Therefore, if Celtic want 9 in a row, Patrick Klamala, at some point between now and May, will have to make a positive contribution.
Yeah, and that actually is it in a nutshell, Fraser. There's a reason that signings right now are scrutinised more than ever. Celtic and Rangers signings are always scrutinised.
Yeah.
But in maybe, if you've got a 15 point advantage in January and you sign a 21 year old striker for a couple of million quid who's coming in as backup, it doesn't get the same publicity. But we live in different times, a different football environment. The way it finished, we've now, everyone's had 2 weeks to stew over the last Old Firm game. So everything's just been ramped up a bit. It's nothing personal to the player or to either club. It's just where we're at the moment.
Hugh's absolutely spot on with his analysis of what's going to happen for Rangers and for Celtic between now and the end of the season. And if you sign during the summertime, you get a bit longer. There's pre-season games, it's the start of the season. But we're in a situation just now where it could just be one bad result could cost either side the title. You know, one defeat or one draw against one of the smaller teams away from home, that might be the difference in winning and losing titles. And that's where guys like Klamala, guys like Edward, and the people who can actually just go and win games like that, that's where they will earn their corner and their reputation.
Pat and Paisley, thank you very much for your call.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It is Beat the Pundit time. It's a new week, a clean slate if you like. Your chance to win a signed ball if you get more questions right than Fraser Wishart or Hugh Keevans. If you want to take them on tonight, if you think you're up to it, give us a call before 7 o'clock. 0141 951 1025. Beat the Pundits next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. The form team for compensation for more than 40 years. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Fraser Wishart and Hugh Keevans are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We kicked off looking at Celtic's potential new signing of Patrick Klamala. Lots of calls, lots of tweets coming in about that. So if you've got any opinions, keep them coming, and hopefully we'll speak to you between now and 8 o'clock. Now, I mentioned this earlier on in the show, and if you're a regular listener, you'll know that during the winter break we like to do things a bit differently. We like to give some much deserved attention to aspects of our game that don't often get the attention they deserve during the regular season. We've been doing it towards the tail end of last week, and we'll do it tonight as well. I'm pleased to say, in the studio at the moment, we're joined by two gentlemen from Football Memories Scotland. Now, we're going to explain a bit more about what that is, and where you can help. Where you can come in is quite simply telling us your first ever football related memory. Now, I know the first game sticks out for a lot of people, so that's great, but it can be more than that. It can be something completely left field, something that just about ties in with football, but your very first football related memory. And we'll get to that after we do this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It is Beat the Pundit time. It's a new week for the listeners and the pundits alike. Gary is in Ballornock, and he will be taking on either Hugh or Fraser. How are you tonight, Gary?
Aye, not bad. Not bad at all.
Good man, Gary. Hugh Keevans tells me he's been studying hard all week, so I don't know if you would rather face him or Fraser. Would you have a preference?
I would rather Hugh, because he's getting a wee bit old, so I'm hoping...
Oh, that's not very nice. He's as good as ever on Beat the Pundit, I'll tell you that. Your success rate was alright, wasn't it, when we did the stats last week?
I'm younger on the wireless.
That's true. Takes years off you. Right, heads it is Hugh Keevans, tails it's Fraser Wishart. And it's tails, I'm afraid, so young Hugh gets to step aside, and Fraser Wishart's going to step up to the plate. So I'm going to give Fraser some Clyde 2 to listen to, and that way he cannot hear us anymore. So you've got 30 seconds, Gary, head to head with Fraser. You can pass. Here is your chance to beat the pundit. You ready?
Thank you, no bother, yeah.
What's the name of the Polish striker Celtic are set to sign?
Klamala.
What year did Tommy Wright join St Johnstone?
Pa-
Who's the current manager of Dunfermline?
Oh, pass.
What other Scottish side has Motherwell new boy Michael Njolly played for?
Michael Njolly. Is it Mim?
What Scottish goalkeeper has the most international caps?
Alan McGregor.
At which stadium did Rangers secure their 9th league title in a row in 97? At which stadium?
Celtic Park.
Okay, let's bring Fraser back. Fraser, can you hear us?
I can,
you
yes.
Can. Great, same set of questions to you. You ready?
Yeah.
Right, let's get stuck in. What is the name of the Polish striker Celtic are set to sign?
Patrick Klimala.
In what year did Tommy Wright join St Johnson?
2011.
Who is the current manager of Dunfermline?
Stevie Crawford.
With which other Scottish side has Motherwell new boy Mikael Njolly played for?
Kilmarnock.
Which Scottish goalkeeper has the most international caps?
Jim Leighton.
At which stadium did Rangers secure their 9th league title in a row in 1997?
Tannadice.
And who refereed last month's League Cup final?
Willie Collum.
Okay, what do you make of the competition, Gary?
Oh, done, I think.
Do you think so? You've done you? Yeah. Well, let's find out. First one. You got off to a good start, Gary. Patrick Klimala is the name of Celtic's potential new signing. What year did Tommy Wright join St Johnson? It was 2013, so none of you got it right. One all. On to question three. Who's the manager of Dunfermline? Stevie Crawford. Fraser knew it. He stretches, or he goes into a 2-1 lead. The other Scottish side that Motherwell's new signing Mikael Njolly has played for is Kilmarnock. So Fraser adds another one. And I'm afraid, Gary, you're about to see a bit of a pattern develop here. Jim Leighton is the Scottish goalkeeper with the most caps. Tannadice was where Rangers won their 9th league title in a row. And Willie Collum refereed last month's League Cup final. He was on fire. It was a 6 for Fraser and only a 1 for you, Gary. Hardlines.
Hardlines. There's always next week.
It's always next week.
Hardlines, Gary.
Thanks very much.
I love Gary's outlook. There's always next week. That's like you. What's your favourite saying? You go from
one failure to the next with no loss of enthusiasm.
Yeah, I like it. That's what Gary's trying to do on Beat the Pundit. Brilliant stuff. Right, going to do something a bit different in the second hour of tonight's show, but it's something you can all get involved in. Every single football fan listening has a first football memory, and it's going to range from all sorts. It could be a first game, a first strip, a game on TV, kicking the ball around with your dad, your mum, another family member, anything at all. What is your very, very first football memory? 0141 951 1025, or on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Now, the reason I'm asking, there is a method to my madness. I'm pleased to say we're joined by Graham Pope and Robert Harvey from Football Memories Scotland. They join us in the studio. Now, for anyone who's not heard of Football Memories Scotland, Robert, how would you describe it? What is that project all about?
The project's all about football, obviously, and it's here to support people with dementia. And it's a project, it's been running now, believe it or not, for 10 years. It celebrated its 10th birthday last year. It's got approximately 230 groups across Scotland. It's a national programme. It goes from the Shetlands, it goes to Stranraer and in between, all sorts of places in between. We help run groups in care homes, community centres, libraries, anywhere where we've got a group of people, we will work with folk with dementia. But it's important to say it's not just folk with dementia that come to these groups. It's developed through the years, and now it's open to anyone. There's a lot of social isolation, a lot of loneliness as well,
sure,
and everyone's welcome to come along.
What does that look like then? So this is about getting a group of people together who may have dementia or are isolated. And then what? Taking them a trip down memory lane with regards to football? How does that help?
It uses football photographs. We've got access to about 7,000 photographs. This is a joint partnership between the Scottish Football Museum and Alzheimer's Scotland. So we've got access to about 7,000 images, so we can tailor sessions to people. We also have the football memories box that's beside you with all the old football boots and ball and liniments and things in there.
I can smell it already.
Yeah, you'll smell it. But the amazing thing, it started, like a lot of great initiatives, it started almost by chance with a man called Michael White, who's a football historian at Falkirk, and he was out doing talks in his local community with his football pictures, and he noticed that all these older gentlemen with memory problems were consistently naming seven, eight players in all the photographs, And he thought that was kind of strange. But there was one gentleman in the care home who was sitting there and he was behind a newspaper and he didn't want to take part. But his pal says, come on, Bill, you join us. You join us. You're a footballer. Well, this man's name was Bill Corbett, or Willie Corbett. He was a centre-half for Scotland. He played with Celtic, Falkirk, Preston North End. And Bill's recollection of football was so vivid from 40 years previously. And he was one of the inspirations. And he actually played against England at Wembley in 1940-41. And he used to always say, the half-back line was no bad, son. It was Busby, Corbett and Shankly. So Bill was
not
bad at all. So Bill was one of the inspirations. Michael then came to Hampden. He got the group of all the historians from Scotland together. He told them his experiences. And from that, he challenged the historians to see if they get the same experience.
Brilliant.
Hibernian and Aberdeen took up the challenge, and Falkirk. They then found out, yes, they were getting the same experience. They got some funding. They got a pilot running. They got Caledonian University to evaluate it. He says, there's definitely something in here.
So it just grew from there?
And that's how it grew, to 230 groups now.
Well, I mean, Graham, the thing I love about this is, well, the simplicity to start with, because I've never met a football fan who doesn't like talking about seasons gone by and players gone by and matches gone by, and yet this has a genuine big impact on people who are struggling with dementia or with social isolation. Social isolation, easy for me to say.
Yeah.
And you get guys who can't even talk, right? And as a certain gentleman I know who's 90, and he played with Tommy Docherty with Shettleston Juniors, and he comes to a library once a month, and you'll sit these cards in front of him, and as you show him Tommy Doherty's face, he lights up. Now, his wife leaves him for an hour and a half, so she gets an hour and a half respite care, basically. And she says he's a different person when he goes home at night. And you see, you show different photos, and you get a smile off him. There's no communication, but you can tell this person to join it. And he's an example of others that we have as well.
Absolutely love that, Hugh. Go on then, because your memory goes back a lot further than mine. What's your very first football memory? Anything at all?
Yeah, the year was 1955, and it was the first time my father took me to a football match. And before I even got to the game, the thing that stuck out was we went to what was then called Kelvin Hall Railway Station. It no longer exists, in Partick. And it was a steam train. And I just remembered the sensation of going on to the steam train with my dad. And we went to the football. And I remember the overpowering smell of tobacco, pipe tobacco. Because men then, in 1955, smoked pipes. And there was this aroma, this lovely aroma of pipe tobacco. And the kids were taken down to the front. The game was played. And at the end of the game, your dad came down to the front and collected you. So 1955, and I can still smell the steam train and the pipe tobacco.
Fraser, what about yourself? Because I know everyone, for a lot of people, it's, you know, first game, because that's something obvious. But look at Hugh's example there, just something that doesn't actually have anything directly to do with football, but that's what jumps out. What about yourself?
Well, I was brought up in Paisley, in Foxbar in Paisley, for my early years before I moved to Glasgow, and there was a piece of land next to our close, and I can remember actually my dad and my uncle taking me out and kicking a ball around. I was about 3 or 4, just, and my dad always saying to me, 2 feet, you know, use 2 feet all the time, which helped me in latter years. But my first football memory was a game. A bit like Hugh, I was about 4 or 5, so you're talking about late 60s, beginning of the 70s, I can't remember exactly. St Mirren, who are our family's team, were playing against St Johnstone, and it was a colour that struck me, I can remember. You know, because all of a sudden, from being a wee boy, black and white telly, you never saw, you know, you didn't have colour tellys, didn't see football on telly. And I'm going to the game, St Mirren black and white, St Johnstone, the team in this bright blue, and one of the players had the biggest mop of ginger hair as well. And that is my memory. I don't remember anything about the game, but I was there, and that was my first memory. So I get a bit like Hugh, when it's a sense of smell, mine's a sense of sight. It was just the colour and the atmosphere and the noise I can remember from that game.
Brilliant stuff. I mean, keep your thoughts coming in. Loads coming in on Twitter. Scotty McHugh says, first memory, Rangers Morton at Caplow, 10 years old. He says, my mate's uncle took us. I never told my mum. Saw Davy Cooper, Bobby Russell, etc. that day. I remember it like it was yesterday. And sadly, I am now 50, says Scotty. That's no age at all, Scotty. Don't you worry about that. Robert, the very many people who come along to the groups, and Graham so brilliantly put it, just, you know, the difference that it can make to some people. Are there any examples that jump out at you from when you've maybe shown someone that picture of a famous player, or you've given them another memory, and just the difference that it can make?
It happens all the time, Gordon. I mean, it generally happens. I'll tell you one. Before I say that, can I just remind folk that in Scotland today, there's 90,000, well, a few years ago, there was 90,000 people with dementia. 90,000, and there was 3,000 under 65 years of age. And it's predicted by the next generation there'll be 164,000. Mm-hmm. So anything we can do to help is obviously good. One that really sticks in my mind was actually at Third Lanark. Cathkin Park, believe it or not, has still got a pavilion at Third Lanark. And we were doing a memory meeting in there one day. We're sitting down there, and we had all the photographs out, and this gentleman came along with his carer. And he's dementia, folk get agitated, he would be uncomfortable. And after about 15 minutes, he was feeling uncomfortable. So we took him through to the dressing room. And in the dressing room, the jerseys were on the pegs. As soon as he seen that, he started to talk about his experience as a football as a wee boy, because he was a ball boy at Third Lanark. And his carer was so surprised to see this. There was a lady in the pavilion at the time as well. She was very emotional. You see lots of emotional things, and she was very emotional to see this happen as well. So that was an occasion where it was the photograph wasn't really doing it, but the environment was doing it. It was actually doing it for him.
Incredible. And listen, there will be so many stories throughout the duration of this. We'll be here until 8 o'clock. We're looking for your memories as well. We've got Hugh and Fraser here as always. You can still call in and give us the usual football madness, but we're just doing something a bit different during the winter break, as we like to shine a light on certain aspects of our game that don't get the attention that they otherwise deserve. If you want to get in touch, it's 01419511025, and if you would rather tweet at Clyde SSB. I mean, Kenny's already on. He says, lump in the throat listening to the guests on Clyde phone in talking about helping men with dementia. Brilliant stuff, top man, he says. That was Kenny. Now, I'm delighted to say that Tony joins us on the phone. Now, Tony currently attends Football Memories Group. Tony is at this moment in time living with dementia. Tony, thank you so much for joining us. Tell us a little bit about your story and how much you enjoy going along to the groups and how much it helps you.
Well, I was diagnosed in the summer of 2016 with Alzheimer's. I was 65 at the time. And what I do is I get myself involved with I'm a committee member in the Scottish Dementia Working Group. So we speak to people from abroad and different seminars. I attend Football Memories because it's a great idea, because you get a chance to meet other people who are suffering from the disease in one way or another. And it brings people out. When we attend these things as well, the most important thing as well, there's no stigma attached to it. You get a chance to sort of reminisce and jog some memory for most of us. And yes, it's certainly a very important part of the help that people require.
And what part of it resonates most with you, Tony? Is it when you see old photographs? Is it when you smell the old smells or you hear the old stories? What resonates most with you?
The photographs are a big thing at jogging my memory and putting questions across. But it's just meeting individuals at the time, you know, like, and starting to sort of jog people's memories. So it's important that you know, people attend these things, because it does. I look forward to it once a month, and it's certainly worthwhile.
And you speak about your own situation, your own diagnosis a few years ago, Tony. How much has this helped you?
Oh, it's big time. I look forward to it every once a month, the first Monday in every month. But also the people involved, like Lynn and Jane down at the resource centre in Bridgeton, and these people do so much. And it does bring people out. As I say, you're meeting people that don't really communicate much until they join the group, and then they start to open up. And you know, as I say, it takes away the stigma, and you're free to discuss most issues. Absolutely fantastic.
Great stuff. That was Tony in Penalty's. Still on the line. If you've got any questions for Tony, I wonder where Tony's football memory journey goes back to. Tony, what's the sort of the furthest back football memory you have at the moment?
Oh my goodness, in a way back, and that's a lot of years. But my football, I think going to Seville was one of the highlights for me. To see Celtic in that final.
Yeah, right.
But these kind of things. But we can talk about these, you know, the football memories. And it's great because it gives you a chance to reminisce and look back and see some old photographs. And what we do as well, we can take in photographs of ourselves being part of something. You know, like, yeah, it's absolutely the business for me.
Well, my abiding memory, Tony, of Seville was having pleasure of going on the plane with Billy McNeil. The first
plane.
Billy and Liz were sitting beside me in the plane going over to Seville, and you know, to be sitting beside the first man to lift the European Cup from the first Briton to lift the European Cup, and to see the reaction that Billy got from everyone when he got to Seville. And I can understand, Tony, exactly the way you feel. I'm going to tell you a private one now. I once wrote a book on the history of the Scottish Cup, and my co-author was one of the finest Scottish football writers we've ever had. His name was Kevin McCarra. And Kevin McCarra, who worked for Scotland on Sunday and then went down and worked in England, Kevin has been living with dementia, and he's living with it all the way now to residential care. Kevin loved Football Memory Scotland, and he would go to Firhill, to the group there, and it meant so much to him because, you know, as has been said here, it brought everything back. His own health might have been failing, but he loved those sessions, he loved those photographs, and he had a tremendous love of the game, and this is what kept him going. So, Tony and everyone else, I'm delighted to be here tonight.
Tony, it's Robert here from Football Memories. When you were talking about your memories, hello there. I remember one day looking at some old photographs, and we had a picture, I think it was Hampden, where after the game, someone was sweeping up the old beer bottles and the likes. And I seem to recall you used to collect the bottles after the game.
Sure did. We opened the gates about 15 minutes before the end of the game. And me and all the guys would go in and fill the sacks full of these old bottles. Absolutely great times.
Brilliant. That was Tony and Penley. Really appreciate you, Tony, getting in touch. Tony is a committed attendee of the Football Memories groups. He's currently living with dementia, but as you heard there, feels it makes a great deal of difference from him getting out, getting the chance to reminisce, meet new people, and everything else that goes along with it. We're going to speak to Andy in Finiston next. He's got some memories on the line for us, loads coming in on Twitter, and lots more to come from the guys in the studio, including a full-time teaser for Hugh and Fraser. So we'll do that next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Getting you full compensation is their goal. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans and Fraser Wishart here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It's a busier studio than usual, let me tell you that, because I'm delighted to say we've got Graham Pope and Robert Harvey, special guests tonight, joining us from Football Memories Scotland. Now, this is an incredibly important project, which hopefully you've been hearing all about in the last 20 minutes or so. We've already had some great contributions on the phones and on Twitter as well, so keep them coming in. Your very first football memories, and it can be anything at all. Hugh talks about the steam train that he remembers going past. It's nothing to do with the actual game itself, but anything you've got at all. Kevin remembers going to Celtic with his dad, thinks it was Christmas Day or Boxing Day. He was 8 years old outside Celtic Park, and it was hearing "You'll Never Walk Alone." It made the hairs on the back of my neck stand up. I'm now 40, says Kevin. And Paul Patterson, first game, he says, 4 or 5, my dad took me Clyde, Airdrie away, Broomfield. My dad bought me a toy car. So there we go. There's always something else that you just associate with the game. 55 years ago, and I now go to games with my boys, says Paul Patterson on Twitter. I'll tell you what, I'll quickly set up the teaser. I'm going to apologise already to Andy and Finiston because he's been hanging on for ages. But very quickly, Hugh, you can just write this one down. Uh-huh. Tonight's teaser is sent in by Tony Higgins. Sergio Aguero became the top scoring overseas player in English Premier League history yesterday. Which other 9 players make up the top 10?
Right, we'll start with
quick
Thierry Henry.
Yep. Fraser, anything from you?
Dennis Bergkamp?
No, actually. What about one of his countrymen?
Ruud van Nistelrooy?
No, his other countrymen.
Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink?
Yes. There's even more than that in there from that part of the world. Okay, we'll leave it there because Andy in Finneson has been hanging on for ages. Sorry, Andy. My apologies, but we've got you now. What would you like to add? What about your first footballing memory?
I've got two kind of quick points. The first football memory, 1968, Rangers versus Hamilton Accies. My dad took me there. We go on the subway, the old subway where it was mobbed, and my dad used to hang me up on the handrails, stay there for two. And then you get to the ground, put on your shoulder, get into the ground, and then when you got to the ground, when you seen that park, that was absolutely amazing. And then your hero, my hero then was John Gregg. John Gregg was my hero. To see him playing, it was absolutely brilliant. You know, just my dad died a long time ago, but I just. It's memories, that's the kind of memory you love for your family.
We were talking about smells there. My recollection of the steam train from Kelvin Hall, there was nothing, and I mean nothing, which had a smell quite like the Glasgow Underground.
And in any day they could smoke, you know, they could smoke. They had a wee thing for lighting their matches on, you could light matches, and that day was just amazing. You know, you see that park, you know, I'd never seen a green park, really. No, I mean...
the ash ones instead.
Aye, ash and black. We usually play in black ash on Victoria Park in Scotland. I was a ridiculous man, so it was, but it was... and then we went to... We beat Bayern Munich and to get to the final. That was the happiest I've ever seen with that. That was... 70, I think it was 74, was it? I can't remember. Maybe Bayern Munich.
See, these are the things that never leave you, Andy. What about this as an idea, as a concept, you know, helping people with dementia by taking them on that trip down memory lane and recalling some of those footballing memories? What do you make of that side of the project?
No, brilliant. My mum's got dementia. She's been in the home for about 2 years now, but she had it. She's been diagnosed it for the last 2 years. No, and I still talk to my mum and my dad. Remember, my dad used to take me to Ibrox, and she can remember. No, she can remember a way back, but see, like 2 days ago, she cannot remember. No, and she loves talking to my dad. It's sad. It's a horrible disease for people and the family. She still remembers, though, a way back, but she cannot remember. Mm. I know, but that's the way it is, isn't it? So hopefully she keeps going. You're going to get a cure? I said, don't know, Mum. Maybe get a cure someday, hopefully, for it. It's no nice.
I mean, Graham, that's the point, isn't it? You'll recognise exactly what Andy's saying. This is the long-term memory and people who are struggling to remember things from this morning or from yesterday or from last week, but the way they can recall these football games and things from years ago.
And it's amazing what the cards just trigger things off about. Not necessarily football, they then start where they worked, or my brother played with so-and-so and such like, and it just, if we sit in a group sometimes, we'll say somebody, what about so-and-so? And it triggers a whole conversation within a group, which the other carers or even them get involved. It's absolutely brilliant, it really is.
I mean, I'll be honest, we have these discussions with the hope that they're going to go well, but you don't really know. But even for me, this has been already an eye-opener. I'm noticing a real theme, you know, because it's not just the football, it's the steam train, it's the underground, it's the noise, the colour, as Fraser said. So that has been very, very enlightening so far. I noticed you've brought so many fantastic pictures. It's a shame it's on radio, actually, because it only works to a certain extent, but we can maybe try and tweet some of the stuff. I mean, some are black and white, some are from a long, long time ago, but then even there's one that jumps out at me which looks a lot more modern. It's a big colour picture of Henrik Larsson. What's the story behind that? Because that's obviously a more recent memory.
So, on my hand just now, I've got a photograph, as you said, of Henrik Larsson. This was taken by a girl at Hampden. It's one of the best photographs I've seen, action photographs. She just captured them correctly. And her dad had dementia in a care home, and she donated this photograph to us. We've got lots of people who will give us things. But the wee story behind this one was, we were in a care home one day, and we showed this a copy of this photograph, and there's a gentleman. We see the whole range of dementia, from the onset of dementia right through the full spectrum. This gentleman couldn't speak, and he was in a wheelchair, and he's seen this photograph, and he took the photograph of Henrik Larsson, and there was a lot of non-verbal stuff going on. You could see that there was something happening. When the session ended, he was still holding it like this, and we says, "It's time to go. That's us, you know, time to clear up." He would not let go of the photograph. We had to call across the carers. He had a vice-like grip on this photograph. He would not let go Henrik Larsson. He just wouldn't let him go. Anyway, he took that photograph back to his room. He would not let Henrik Larsson go. Whatever it was doing for him, it was his. And he's welcome to have it.
I love that, Hugh. Again, this is something we've mentioned across the last week. You know, whether we had some other inspirational guests and other topics that maybe we don't always talk about in the show, but something that just keeps coming back when you get sort of caught up in the madness of the day-to-day. Yeah. And that phrase that you hear about it being just a game, my goodness, it's so much more than that.
Yeah, I mean, in this country, and perhaps particularly in this city, it's everything. People live their lives through football. And when they are visited by this awful business of Alzheimer's or dementia, to have this trigger, I think, is fascinating. I obviously know Kevin and his wife very, very well. And his wife has spoken to me about how much Kevin gets out of his visits. But only when I'm standing beside Robert and Graham and looking at these photographs and hearing people on the phone and reminiscing, only now am I getting the full impact of what this is all about and how important it is.
Yeah, I mean, Token Jesters on Twitter, he says, before the Panini sticker era, it was a pack of cards you bought. He says you could play games, flick them, whoever got furthest won their opponent's card. I remember thinking my Jimmy Johnson card was better than all the others, says Token. That's his earliest football memory. Sideshow Bob's first was...
You get a bit of bubble gum as well.
Is that right?
I showed my
age. Sideshow Bob's was going to a St Mirren game, 6 or 7. His best friend took him, first division at the time, playing Clyde. A classic 0-0. Good to see the scoreline. And it's just bizarre, Hugh, the things that are coming back. As you mentioned, the train, yeah, the steam train. Fraser mentioned the colour. Mine is actually floodlights.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going back as far as you, but I was born sort of in the shadow of Fir Park, would be the dramatic way of explaining it, just a couple of streets away. Uh-huh. But you can see the floodlight. You could see the floodlights just peeking up above the houses. So I would then play football in the park across, and was just seduced by this idea, by this big stadium and the things that went on there. And actually, before even getting to a game, the memory would be when it got to Saturday afternoon. Now remember, when you're young, you don't really have a concept of days or time. But the cars would all be parked. That would be, yeah, chock-a-block. And believe it or not, they did get bigger crowds in those days. The cars would be lined all the way up the street. So I actually think of traffic jams and floodlights before I even get to what you then witness on the pitch.
You're sparking all sorts of memories, because I remember the first time I heard a rhythmic chant inside a Scottish football ground.
Hope it was a clean one, if you're going to repeat it.
It was the simple first time I ever heard that. Real Madrid came to Glasgow and they played a match for charity against Celtic at Celtic Park. And it was the first time I ever heard a crowd doing this rhythmic chant. And I think it was 1961, 62 tops. So for us Ouija's, this was a very exotic business altogether.
Andy and Finnison, thank you so much for your call and sharing some of your personal touches with us as well. We really do appreciate that. And you can wish your mum all the best from us. Andy and Finnison, Stevens in Coat Bridge. Hi, Stephen.
Good evening, guys. How are we doing?
Good, Stephen.
Talking about the memorabilia and obviously the guys in the studio tonight. My first memory, going way back to, I've been going to Celtic Park since 67, 68 with my grandfather, God rest him, started taking me. And my first memory, it wasn't an actual game. I was at the game, a game obviously, but I can't remember what team we were playing. But my granddad, I was only about 6 or 7, my grandfather, about 5 minutes before half time, we always stood in the jungle, the middle of the jungle, and at the front, I was right at the front, near the wall, going onto the track side, obviously. He would say to me, right, stand there and don't move. I'll go down and get us. He used to go down and get us a pie at half time. So I'm standing there, and I can remember the crowd all gathering again, and I must have panicked a wee bit, and the next thing, I'm up on the track side, but a policeman walking around. And in their days, they took you up the tunnel, they took you right around and then right up the tunnel. So they takes me right up the tunnel, and I remember it vividly. They sat me down. It looked like a bar with coke and stuff like that, but it was just up the tunnel. So I'm sitting there, and the lady behind it saying, "You'll be okay, don't worry." we'll get your granddad and all that, don't worry about it, sit there. The next thing, the Lisbon Lions all walked out the dressing room to go back onto the park again. Billy McNeil, and they were all rubbing my head, and the last one to walk out was Big Jock, and he's like, what's up? And he's like, oh, you'll be fine, son, you'll be fine, rubbing my head. So I was over the moon at this, seeing all my heroes, the Lisbon Lions. And they put an announcement out with the grandfather of Stephen Martin, please come and pick him up after the game. So I was over the moon, opened these doors, I goes out, my granddad stand, and I'm like, granddad, you'll never guess who I met. And he just came out right round the ear. He's like, you'll be back to another game with me. I told you not to move. So that was it. And he stood by his word. He never took me to another game for months and months. And my father, God rest him, he wasn't much of a football man, but he used to take me anyway, just so that I wouldn't miss out. And talking about the memorabilia guys have got there, I'm in St Andrew's Hospital, I'm an outpatient for cancer. And we had one of these guys a few months ago came to the hospice. Every Tuesday we have it, it's called a well-being group. It's people with life-limiting illnesses, dementia as well. And we meet up every Tuesday. Our group was a Tuesday. And we have different activities on. People come to talk about different things that affect us as patients and to try and help us, you know, cope with living with our disabilities. And this guy showed up with his big bag of 40s. And it was brilliant because there was ladies, a lot of ladies there, a lot of men there, guys that were quiet, guys like myself, like a natter. And he brought out all these 40s. And honestly, 40s for the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, all the way up. And he was like, and he was telling me stories, and do you know who this is? And do you know, and we were all talking away. And as Hugh was talking about, all the memories about going to the games all start flooding back, and everybody was talking about, oh, you remember you used to do this, getting lifts over at the game, and when you were older, you used to lift people over the turnstiles. It was just brilliant, and it's, you know, they really do make a big difference to people that have these sort of illnesses, that they can then sort of interact, and they feel that they can take part in things, that they're not shut off. Mm. They're brilliant. I just want to say, well done, guys. Keep doing it.
Brilliant. Thank you very much for taking the time, Stephen. What a story that is as well. It's worked out not too badly in the end. You get lost, but you get to meet all your heroes. We'll actually get the guys to explain a little bit about the memory boxes and go through some of the stuff that's in it. We'll do that in just a moment or two when we take a breather. Quickly on the teaser, Hugh.
Ollie Gunnar Solskjaer?
No. Oh. Fraser?
Didier Drogba?
Yes.
Dwight York?
Yes.
Robin Van Persie?
Yes. You're flying. Four to go.
Five to go, I think. Five.
How many
four to go. We'll get them next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. They play to win every time. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans and Fraser Wishart here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We're still joined, we've not scared them off, which is great. Graham and Robert from Football Memories Scotland. And let me tell you, the response to tonight's show has been humbling, because it's been a really great trip down memory lane. The guys are doing wonderful things at Football Memories Scotland, working with people who suffer with dementia, taking them on a trip down memory lane with different photos and different pieces of football memorabilia, and explaining to us the difference that it makes. Some great stuff coming in on Twitter. My girl says, I'm a nurse, I've been taking people to Rangers Memories Group since 2015. The effect is great. Sometimes just an advert in a programme can spark a memory like a sweet they used to eat. It's a great group and I feel privileged to be a part of it, says my girl on Twitter. And Alex McLeish, I don't think it's that one for what it's worth, but anyway, he's on Twitter. He says, my memory, the newspapers, Green Citizen and the Pink Times, with a picture tucked inside them.
Yeah, I used to stand with the paper shop at Partick Cross, and the papers would be delivered. The van would come screeching to a halt. They'd throw the batch of papers into the shop, and as soon as they could get them unravelled, people were buying them, flying off the shelves. And the great writers of my boyhood in the Times, Malcolm Monroe, and people like that, you know, the guys of my age will remember who Malcolm Monroe was. But glorious times. He didn't even get the final result in it, but that wasn't important.
We're going to get the guys to explain a bit more about their memories box and some of the other pieces of equipment they use. But let's take another call now. I'm pleased to say we're joined on the line by a man who goes by the name on social media of The Football Barber, which is quite a niche title, Martin. I'm sure you'll agree. So just explain to us what you do and your role as The Football Barber.
Hi there. So I deliver a mobile pop-up barbering service in care homes to gentlemen who predominantly have dementia. So a lot of the guys are physically disenfranchised and are incapable of accessing a barber shop. So I take the experience to them while affording them the opportunity to sort of take a trip down memory lane and incorporating the system that's used by Football Memories. So using programmes, old memorabilia, specific songs and playlists and various different artefacts to jog memories and sort of provide a better service, if you like, to the guys.
Yeah, I like that. And listen, this is not for me to talk down any of the hard-working barbers or hairdressers out there, but it's a bit different from the "Are you going anywhere nice this year? What have you up to?" So, you know, there's a purpose
holidays planned
behind the conversation. Martin, what type of things do you discuss, and what impact have you seen it have on people whose hair that you're cutting? Maybe some examples. That I don't want you or expect you to name names or anything, but maybe just some examples of the difference it can make.
Well, it makes a massive difference. I was quite conscious doing research. I worked in care, so I looked to do something somewhat different. So I specifically went to college to learn to be a barber, and so the idea was very much to establish and set this up because it just didn't exist. A lot of the guys in care homes struggle with things like peer association, getting to know other guys, and they're losing that sort of social mobility and just enjoying a conversation. So I thought I could do something a wee bit different, and that's been the case. So I try and make it as person-centred as I can with each individual. So where possible, when the individuals support a football club, I'll go and source programmes specific to that club, that era when they were playing, when they were watching the matches and so on. So I've been asked this a few times, and there's been numerous instances where it's made a really pivotal difference. One gentleman in a care home in Edinburgh was a Falkirk fan, so he had actually told me that he'd actually played for Falkirk. So I managed to source the programme in a match that he'd played against Hibs. So for him to be able to sort of look at that and be able to reminisce about players he played with, players he played against, it was massive for him. So it reduced him to tears, but it was quite nice. Nice for his family as well. And a lot of the guys, there's some individuals that maybe struggled with just very verbal communication. They were maybe lacking a wee bit of confidence in what to talk about certain things, because a lot of the times in care homes specifically, not that it's deliberate, but there is a sort of feminisation, I feel like, of care homes. And that's purely just because of the ratio and the balance of residents. So going in, being able to deliver sort of gentlemen's clubs and affording the guys the time and a bit of sort of male camaraderie has been huge. Getting the guys to have a sing song. We do different songs that are specific, so all the way through sort of Ali's Army and things like that, right through to songs I might have sang at Hogmanay, like Road and Miles to Dundee and things like that. So it boosts the guys' confidence, which is great. It gives them something to really look forward to. And in the time when they're there, it certainly seems, according to themselves, the staff and their families, that affords them sort of just a chance to just get away from the prison that is dementia and just be able to enjoy themselves in that moment.
Martin, really, really brilliant to hear some of the work you're doing. Keep up the good work. Thanks ever so much for joining us. Great to hear of the impact that Martin and other guys like him are making. Now, key to this is the different types of memories, Graham. We've got photos, we've mentioned some of the other things, and I've got the football memories box behind me. I'll try and describe, because I don't know what some of them are, because I'm of a certain age. I can certainly spot some an old jar of Bovril in there. We still eat that, that's fine. We've got football boots that I must admit look absolutely nothing like the ones I wear. We've got a football which looks absolutely nothing like the ones I kick. It's got the big leather lace. I can't imagine getting that whacked into your thigh on a cold January morning would be much fun.
I'm going to describe one other thing that's in there, because you might not be familiar with the term.
I know where you're going with this.
It's a rickety.
Yep.
You spun it around. It's a wooden construction. You spun it around and it.
Go on, Fraser, hand him it. Hand him it, and he can do it live on air. Yeah. This will be a first for Clyde One Super Scoreboard, I'm sure.
Go on, Fraser.
Go on, Fraser.
There we are.
That's enough.
Macaroon bars, spearmint chewing gum.
Yes.
What else is in the box? Anything I've missed?
There's carbolic soap. Soap's in there. There's old Scotland shirt, tartan tarmy, the old boots you mentioned. There's Bovril, liniment oil, all these, blow football, the old blow football's in there as well. One of the things about the boot state, those boots are solid. If you look at the toes, it's wooden screws, and it wasn't a cobbler they used in the old days. It was a joiner to change your studs.
Wow.
And all the old guys will tell you that inside the sole, it's so thin that the studs used to come through all the time on their feet. Especially when someone mentioned earlier on, they're playing in black ash or red ash or something. That's the way life was for them.
You'd have hammered it in, Hugh, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. I'm surprised to see my wedding photo in there.
Graham, I can't believe we're already drawn to a close. I think we could stay here until midnight quite easily. The response has been incredible. We'll have to do it again sometime. So just to try and round off, Graham, explain to us from your perspective just how rewarding it is.
It's when you come out of a session, one of the first ones I did, and I sat a one-to-one this guy, and he went away, he says, "I thoroughly enjoyed that." And that maybe been the only hour of a week that this person spoke to NMD, and that's the satisfaction you get, that you have spent an hour and he has enjoyed it. And you come out of other sessions, and if you, as I said earlier, if you get a smile off of somebody's face, and there was a few people said earlier, they don't talk, but you get a response off them, and you know that we're doing something right. And that's the great bit about it.
Brilliant, really, really brilliant. I've thoroughly enjoyed listening to you guys. And if anyone wants to get involved or donate anything to the Memory Box, anything at all, get in touch. We'll put you in touch with the guys. Really heartfelt thank you from the gentleman. Just quickly, you need to round off this teaser.
Robbie Keane.
No.
Oh.
Hazard, Lukaku.
Lukaku,
Silva.
Yes. No. Three to get. Struggle. Two former Arsenal strikers in there. One also played with Man City, which is quite key to one of his memorable moments, when he ran the full length of the pitch to remind his former fans of a goal.
Oh, yes, Adebayor.
Yes. What about a young Frenchman brought over by his countryman
Nicolas
Wenger?
Nicolas Anelka.
Yes. And will we just cut to the chase and put you out your misery with the last one?
Yes.
Because we could be here until midnight.
Initials first.
One name, one word.
Oh, one word.
Begins with Y. I mean, he has another name, but this is how he was generally known.
Yaya.
Yakubu. You were close. Yakubu. Thank you very much to Hugh and Fraser. I hope you don't mind. I know you won't mind me reserving your biggest thanks tonight to Graham and Robert from Football Memories Scotland. It has been incredible to listen to you. You do such fantastic work. On behalf of everyone associated with the show, thank you very much for joining us. Keep up that good work. We'll be back tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. Gordon and Roger will be here, and Stephen Mills up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation you deserve. When there's been foul play, talk to Thompson's.com.